You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, you wanted it, you got it. Today's the day of the draft.
Oh, now we get to talk NBA draft. We had to wait till the day of.
You can talk NBA draft any day you want.
I was waiting for you to let me talk NBA draft, and now you finally did, so thank God.
I don't let you do anything.
Well, it certainly sounded like you did.
You could have taken any sort of segment you wanted to and held it hostage in the past. You do anything you
wanted. Well, you started the week by saying no one cares about the NBA draft here.
No one does.
They don't.
And then we decided not to talk any NBA draft until now.
Because no one cares about it.
Because, well, I don't. I didn't realize I was such a good influence on you, or such a strong, not good, but strong influence on you, that obviously you can't talk NBA draft just because I said not to talk NBA draft, because no, I said no one cares about NBA draft. I'll talk NBA draft. I think I'm starting to like Cam Reddish more and more.
Oh, tell me why.
I think so many people are talking garbage about him, and I think when you call a player lazy, it's an exceptional motivator. He might have been a little bit down because of R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson stealing the show, but he might have a lot there. And if he becomes a good player, will we or will we not be a very supportive fan base for Cam Reddish? Is that what something that he might like? Yeah. Did he not have great talent coming out of high school just a year ago? Absolutely. He was one of the highest recruits out there. And he was supposed to be, until Zion Williamson decided to go to Duke, which was later than him, until Zion decided to go to Duke, he was the gem of that recruiting class. And I, all of a sudden, Jay Billis, who went to Duke, so maybe he knows some I don't, but I just hear when people call guys lazy, maybe they're in fact lazy, but I think that's a strong thing to say about a guy who's just finishing up his teen years. It's a very strong thing to say. And you can't tell me he doesn't have good talent there. I'm at five.
That's what makes it interesting is that Jay Billis does not say those kind of things about student athletes. Like, he is always considered pro athlete. He doesn't typically kind of operate in the world of the hot take. And that's as hot as it gets about a kid coming out of college. So, not to mention he went to his alma mater. So that makes it even more, I don't want to say concerning, because look, we're not doing the workouts. We're not there on a daily basis. We weren't at, you know, the combine in Chicago. My question is, how big of a gamble is it? If everybody close to Cam Reddish is telling you stay as far away from Cam Reddish as humanly possible, then how big of a risk is it?
I don't think it's a gamble. I don't think it's a gamble. I think at
really?
Five, it's a flyer. I think at five, it's a flyer. If we were number two and I'm telling you to take Cam Reddish over Ja Morant and RJ Barrett, I think that a lot of people think I'm an idiot. I think at the fifth pick, to me, this is, and this is something you have yelled for years and people refuse to believe you. A fifth pick to me is basically the start of the second round. And I think that he becomes a flyer. And I like the upside. I really like the upside. I'm 6'8". I think he can play good inside out. I think he's that nice body. I think he's that type of player who you might want. And if he becomes, if he shows any flash whatsoever, Cleveland fans will love him, because then they'll start to play well. And so I think he'll get that support that maybe he thought he was going to get at Duke and he never got from the fans. He's young. He's a kid. So he's going to be impressionable. And yes, I'm sure he's prone to pouting. And I'm sure somebody told Jay Billis that he pouts and they wanted him to work harder and he probably moped a little bit. And that's something that I got to work through. And I know that that scares off a lot of people and I understand that. But I'm not sitting there with number one or number two or number three. I'm at five.
To me, he has all the look of a star player, a guy who could be a star. His moves are that of a star. You know, when I watch Jarrett Culver, who, if the Cavs end up just sitting there at number five, if that's all they're going to do is sit there and not trade down, trade with Atlanta. Atlanta's looking at 8 and 10, and they're not trying to, you know, maximize their swings. Then I've been saying take Jarrett Culver, but I don't think Jarrett Culver has star in his potential. I certainly don't think DeAndre Hunter has star, you know, as a potential, you know, when we do these litmus tests of guys to see where they could go. I actually agree with you, the Cam Reddish, but I just want to know why everybody who covers college basketball is saying stay away from him, including people close to Duke.
Would it make it easier for you? Because I did say at five. Do you agree that it's maybe the start of the second round there at five?
No, I've said, especially with the drop-off this year.
Okay, there's a precipitous drop with the top two players.
Look,
and then
my guess is the Pelicans are going to trade out of number four, and it's going to be someone jumping up there to get Garland. I think teams would be willing to jump up there to get Garland over Culver, over Hunter, over any of those guys back there, because I do think Darius Garland has potential to be a star. The problem is, You know, you're not going to get him. You're not going to move up to number four. Plus, you have Colin Sexton. And my guess is that the Cavs are so invested in Colin Sexton as a point guard, even though I don't think he is. They're so invested in him being a point guard, they're not going to jump up and get another point guard.
See, that's a scary. That's still a scary type of thinking to me, because I don't know if you can really say positions are positions anymore and put those guys out there. I think that we've all understood over the last how many years that we've really started to blur the lines of where a classic position 1 through 5 really is. And if you're saying this, which you have been fearful of all throughout last year, about them not drafting a point guard because they quote-unquote already have a point guard, then I'll sit here and I'll go, what the hell are we doing here anyway? But I wonder now, because I really like Cam Reddish, and part of me, I think, really wants to defend him because of this. Could I trade down and get Cam Reddish still? Could I trade down to Atlanta at 8? Even though that Atlanta would make your pick at 8 because the NBA draft is so backwards.
Yeah, but that's what the rumors are.
Could I do that?
There have been rumors that the Cavs would do that with Atlanta and try to get those two picks. It all depends on, you know, what is that ransom going to be? What are the Cavs going to be able to get and squeeze out of Atlanta to move down? And then when you move down, you know, does it make sense for a team in the Cavs position to move down? If they decide to move down, I'm willing to gamble a little more because now you have two swings at it. If you're not willing to move down, I don't know. That Cam Reddish thing is a huge gamble. It is a huge gamble because I don't want to, in a year, be saying, well, everything they said about him is true. He is not much of a practice player. He's not much of a guy who seems like he's willing to get developed and be inserted into a culture and try to do all those things, because he had star power around him at Duke. And to walk away from that going, man, he did not seem like he wanted part of this at all. That really makes me nervous. And we should play the Jay Billis comments and let people decide for themselves. But that's a guy who was as close to Duke as anyone, did all their big games, and walked away saying, stay away from this guy.
216-578-0092. So we're going to do something different today. All right, you make a call. We got several other things we're probably going to get into today. Trust me. You make a call today, you got to start it off talking draft. You got to get what's the bare minimum that a caller needs to do for you?
Oh, I think anything. I just want to hear something.
You take it away. It's your show.
It could be about the Cavs. It could be about Zion. I don't even care. I just want to, on the one day, I mean, if we talk Browns draft for 3 months before a Browns draft, I think on the day of an NBA draft, we could talk NBA. I know you guys can do it. I know you can do it. Either that or you're going to prove Ken right that no one cares about the draft. I don't want Ken to be right on this at all. It's the last thing.
I don't want to be right about it.
I don't want an I told you so from Ken.
No. I don't want to be right about that. I don't want to. I said, no champions pose there. I'm not going to celebrate that. I said the same thing with the Cavs earlier this week, and I'll say the same thing about this. I want them to be interested in the Cavs and in the draft and in the NBA. Please, please, I will not celebrate that. I do not want to be right about that. So, yes, I encourage you, please. We have some comments, some zesty comments from Baker Mayfield later on where he said he wants one quarterback to know explicitly that he does not like that guy. That was pretty strong. And we have plenty of things to get into today. But if you're calling in, I'm going with Lima on this. Lima's going to hold my hand, and we are going through this together. You call in, you got to say something about the draft. Even if it's to say you don't care about the draft, fine.
No, that doesn't count.
Well, you got to say something about the draft.
Yes.
Wouldn't that count?
You got to give me a reason. They got to give you a reason. Is that okay? They got to give you a reason why they don't care about the draft.
Fine.
Okay. But you got to talk about the draft. Today is the draft day. No matter what anybody wants to say, it shapes the future of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It does.
John Beilein's involvement in it, which might be a little bit scary according to Gary Parrish, or might be a little bit scary according to Andy Katz yesterday, who was with us. Hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com in its entirety. There's a lot there to take from. So fine, it's a big day with one of the three teams here in Cleveland. I think it does deserve its proper balance. So if we do all these other things, which we will, and we'll get into the Kipnis stuff and all that, you got to call in. Say, if you're calling in, you got to say something about the Browns. You got to say something about the draft.
Even Ken can't get through it.
You got to say something about the draft. Who you want to take, or even if you don't like it, why you don't like it. But as of right now, at 5, maybe I'd like to trade down. I like the upside of Cam Reddish, which might be hanging it out there a little bit. And actually, coming up at 9:40, I have a very strong theory about Cam Reddish. I have a very strong theory about Duke and Jay Billis. That coming up. 216-578-0092. We got people in. All right, what do you want out of the draft? What do you want the Cavs to do? And coming up, Baker Mayfield. Woo! Strong words for another quarterback out there. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. Coming up later on, Jason Kipnis is taking a victory lap. It's a three-run bing bong, and he's taking a victory lap. Don't shake your head. Also, quote, hope he knows I don't like him. That's Baker Mayfield talking about another quarterback. Who that is, we'll tell you about that coming up here in a few minutes. 216-578-0092. NBA draft tonight. I said, yeah, you know what? I want to take a swing at Cam Reddish. You want to trade back? Trade back. I think I'd like to take a swing at him. I think something's fishy there with what Jay Billis had to say about it the other day. I do. And I'll tell you more about that coming up at 9:40 today because I'm not going to say or I'm not going to give away what I can sell for I have a theory. Not going to do that. But today, Lima, today's your day. Today's a big day for Anthony Lima. Now, a notorious day as well. Boy, we're talking about notorious figures with OJ. You are Anthony Bennett. Who else did you get wrong back in the day? Well, you got Anthony Bennett right.
No, I picked in consecutive years that they were going to take Deion Waiters and Anthony Bennett.
That's it.
I got it right both years. Problem is, neither of them turned out to be particularly good draft picks. In fact, one's the all-time bust in NBA playoff history.
Deion's not that bad.
Pretty bad.
He's not that bad. He's not good, but he's not that bad. So, but you were still, yeah, you looked at the draft. So who do you want to take? Who do you think they're going to take? And today, by the way, you call it about anything, you got to say something about the draft at the beginning of the call or we hang up on you immediately.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up moving down as part of this because these drafts, and this one in particular, is kind of considered a crapshoot after number four. So why sit there at number five unless there is somebody that you're praying gets all the way to number five? And I don't think R.J. Barrett's going to end up there. And I don't think Darius Garland's going to end up there. And I don't think they would have taken Garland anyway. I think a team is actually more apt to trade up in front of you to go get Garland. And that's why the Pelicans and David Griffin are dangling that pick to just about anybody who will listen. And I don't think the Cavs would find it at all logical to move up and give up one of the assets that, you know, Altman has been able to try to stockpile.
Yeah, I dig that. So, right.
I think it's going to end up being Culver, but I'm not going to be surprised by anything in this draft because they might see the next eight players, as most of the consensus mocks do, all kind of bundled up there.
All right. I can see that. All right. So are we ready to take these calls?
Sure. They're in.
You called them pity calls, though.
I do think these are out of pity because where were these people the last week or month?
Well, I told you, we were talking about Duke Johnson. We were talking about third team running back. Let me get to Mike and Elyria. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I'm loving the draft. I'm glad you guys are talking about it.
Enjoy it today because this will be the end of it.
No.
Right. I hope we end up getting 2 to 3 picks in the top 14, whether it's trading Love or J.R. Smith. I like Cam Reddish there at five. My biggest boom or bust player is Bol Bol. It stretches the floor. Injury concerns is a huge concern, but that's my guy.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call.
So when you watch Bol Bol, if you pull up any of Baylor's games, if you pull up any of the stuff he did with the camp stuff before the season.
Didn't Bol Bol play like two games or barely two games?
Well, more than that. But
I thought it was like three halves.
You will see a guy that plays at that age like Kristaps Porzingis.
And Baylor, you meant Oregon.
Oregon,
both
yeah.
Green, yeah.
He's playing like, honestly, like Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, the stuff he's doing, he's dancing around, he's... You know, look, defensively, he's going to be a liability. Any guy like that would be, just like Porzingis is going to be a liability. You know, you're not going to be able to switch him on the guards and stuff like that. But he's got range, and he might have better range than Porzingis did coming out of, he didn't play in college.
Hurt
but
so he did. Soon, and immediately I can't help it. I start thinking about his old man.
Right.
And it's like, he was so thin, and this is a guy who's still 7'2", 210 where he's listed at. And I'm thinking, it's the same thing. The bones weigh 200 pounds for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a guy, I mean, you're not going to take him that high. You would probably trade back and then take him with that second pick, I presume, because of the injury.
He played 9 games last year.
Okay, he played 9 games. So there you go. So I think that, honestly, yeah, you might be able to get something out of him, but maybe a little bit later on is where you would take him. I wouldn't trade down to 8 or something like that with Atlanta and then take him at number 8.
Well, it gets interesting if you have 8 and 10 because then I could see, because I think some team might want to trade up to go get him and take that risk. Because he is that skilled of a player. He is really skilled. And only if had he not have had the injury, I mean, I'm seeing mock drafts have him anywhere from 18 to 10. So he's going to go. It's just a matter of whether you want to be the team to pull the trigger on that and trust in your doctors.
All right,
and
I'd feel better taking this. Well, no, because I'm already – see, me, I'm taking my swing on Cam Reddish, and now I'm afraid to lose twice.
I know.
I want a guy – tell me I'm wrong here, okay? Just correct me on this because this is my theory about it. Say you trade down to 8 with Atlanta, and I know there's a big name out there that's floating around about that, and we'll get to him here in a second because, hey, it could be the last day for two prominent Cleveland Cavaliers from the 2016 team. If you say you trade down to 8, and I take Cam Reddish at 8, best overall talent, great talent, well, I still know that's going to be a risk. I still know that. So then at 10, do I let – I don't know if I let him. But do I help out John Beilein a little bit, get a guy who's a real tough type of player, a guy who can really go for it and help me out and be the type of moldable player, or do I take another guy for different reasons, Bol Bol, who played in 9 games last year and is obviously comes from a lineage of guys who get hurt, big men who get hurt? Does he have the body that's going to be ready to take the punishment? I mean ever. Obviously, as a rookie, it's going to be a tough transition, but will he ever have the body that takes the punishment that the NBA still does?
Yeah, and these players that are 6'11 and above, they all are getting injured. I mean, you were always waiting for Kevin Durant to get injured. He actually has had a great career, and that would have been a bad bet had you bet against him based mm-hmm. on, you know, how skinny he was, how little he benched. I remember that was a big deal. These big guys all end up getting injured. They do.
Let me get to John and Wesley. John, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, I was thinking about the whole J.R. Smith contract with Miami and trying to get the 13th pick for them. But then you'll probably have to take Deion Waiters or Ryan Anderson's contract to get them.
I would be okay with Ryan Anderson. John, thank you very much for the call. I think that he's a nice veteran that I could bring into the mix. I have no problem with taking Ryan Anderson's contract.
Yeah, you know, people have been asking, what are we going to be looking for? For those that don't know, J.R. Smith.
I just respect him as a veteran. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. J.R. Smith is going to get traded, or at least that's the thought, because teams are looking for cap space, and they get cap space relief by trading for him because only $3 million of his contract is guaranteed. But in return, the Cavs are going to want a draft pick. They're going to take on a bad contract, but that's okay. Cavs are allowed to take on bad contracts because Dan Gilbert has been willing to pay, and we're not trying to win. We're not trying to compete this year for any kind of a championship.
Well,
so it's okay to
contract,
take a bad contract in return. That's okay. The question is, can you get somebody with some upside? And I think we know who Deion Waiters is at this point in his career. You know, they have a ton of mishmash as far as contracts go on that Miami team. They've got like 8 of the same guys on that team. So it's going to be curious who you're not going to get Justice Winslow. They still have hope in him. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get him. So it might be somebody like, you know, James Johnson has 1 year left on his contract. You'd be willing to take that. No problems. No questions asked.
Jim in Geneva, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, I'm all in with Lima here on the draft. I think the Cavs should somehow work with Atlanta and go 5 for maybe 8. Well, maybe go 5-26 for 8, 10, and 17 and throw in JR and then take a big contract back from Atlanta if that's possible. But if they can't get all three, then just try and get 8 and 10 for 5 or 8 and 17 and then get another teen pick from Miami or something with the contract for JR.
Jim, good call. Thank you very much for it. Lima?
Yeah, the problem is that Atlanta does not, and they've been very smart in doing this because of their teardown. They don't have any real awful contracts. So I don't know who they'd be willing. Any J.R. Smith has always seemed to be centering around a team trying to get rid of a big contract because they're trying to create cap space. Well, the Hawks don't care about cap space right now, so I don't know if J.R. Smith would make sense at all in part of a deal like that.
Aren't you excited right now? People are getting in about the draft.
I know. People are a little bit on top of things.
Be excited over here. Look at you. You're all focused. You're like Mel Kiper over there. This is amazing. Ryan in Mayfield, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, guys.
Hi, Ryan.
I think people are taking pity on Lima here. He's like a puppy in an ASPCA commercial with Sarah McLachlan in the background in the corner crying. So everyone's calling in to go ahead and make him feel better.
His hair is all matted right now. It's ugly.
They feel really bad for me.
I do feel bad for you. No, I think they need to find a way to go ahead and move down and maximize the number of picks, only because if you look at Beilein's career in college, what did he do? He took 2 and 3-star guys and made them 3, 4, 4.5-star guys. So if you can find guys, maybe diamonds in the rough, develop them, I think that might work better with what he's capable of doing as a coach instead of trying to find a guy like where, well, they just said it with Reddish. If you go down that road and he's uncoachable and he's lazy, he's not going to listen to a first-year NBA head coach that's been in college all the time. I don't see that working out very well there. And then the last thing being, if you're in a dark room right now, how close are you to that light switch for the Indians? Because I'm up there getting ready to flip it if they go ahead and win tonight and the Twins lose today.
Lima says
all,
that five games,
I said they
got
to get
Ryan,
down to
you.
Five. They got to get down to five before I'm realistically going to flip the switch. So they got room to go, but they can do it. They can do it. They've got all these games up against the Twins.
I'm telling you, listen, it could be July 12th is the next series against the Twins. We could have a different conversation.
We would be.
Buxton's hurt. Someone else is hurt, too. It'd be time to start circling
now,
back.
As go far ahead. As Beilein goes, yes, the type of profile of a player coming out of high school that he really, really loved were a bunch of those three-star, maybe not as heavily recruited four-star guys that he would try to mold. You can't get away with that all the time in the NBA, though. You do need some five-star guys at the NBA. Jared Culver, by the way, fits that description. Culver was somebody coming out of high school that was not on anybody's radar. He was ranked in like the 150s. He was a three-star recruit. And then he made a huge leap from freshman to sophomore year. But look, there are guys in the NBA you've been able to do that with. Chris Middleton is one of those guys. But you don't want to feast on guys like that because you do that too often. Other teams are going to lap you with talent.
We get to John. No, Frank in Cleveland. Frank, you're next up in the Fan.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Good.
I have a perfect trade.
Tell me.
Kobe Altman for Jamie Gertz. Are you with me?
I guess not. Jamie Gertz from the Lost Boys?
He X'd out all the calls by X.
Oh, we got rid of all of them.
Oops. Jamie Gertz is Dr. Melissa Reeves in Twister. Thank you very much.
She's also in Lost Boys.
She is also in Lost Boys. She is also
one
the
of my favorite
the wife of the owner of the Atlanta Hawks, so I don't know if that's going to work out very well. Frank, what were you getting into again? I'm sorry.
No, we were talking about whether or not, like, are we going to cater this team for Beilein? I get nervous about that in the NBA. You know, I've heard a lot of people say the types of players that Beilein likes. Yeah, that was in college. That was at Michigan. Okay, Michigan was not the number one basketball program in the conference. It's Michigan State. So, yeah, you have to try to, in some ways, you know, figure out a way around. You know, you can't do that in the NBA too often. Sometimes you just have to go take a stud player who can go in there right away and change everything because of his talent. I also don't want to hear that, well, Beilein likes guard play, and so they can take a bunch of small guards. You know, look, it's not about what Beilein did in college. It's about what they think can work in the NBA. You understand what I mean? I know they hired a college coach and someone who's been around a college game a long time, but I don't want the Cavs to be Michigan South. I don't want that to be the case. They've got to take stud players that can become studs. I know that Tom Haverstraw came out with a piece recently about how statisticians are looking at this and saying, hey, wait a second. Guys are going all over the board in the NBA draft. We've never been worse at the NBA draft than we are right this instant. Okay, that doesn't mean you can just take three-star guys and pray it works. It has worked recently. The Greek Freak was one of them, and there is a dude named, I don't know his full name, I don't know how to pronounce it, from France, Sekou.
Vitaly Potapenko.
But Sekou is, they're comparing him to Pascal Siakam. Okay, that's fine, but how many chances are you willing to take over the next few years if you're only
like Sekou,
you know, sitting
Diomomo
at the top of the draft and having a top 10 pick?
I thought he was from France.
France, yeah.
Yeah, okay. John in Cleveland. John, you're next up in the Fan.
What's up? I want to trade with the Lakers because they're looking to clear cap space for another max contract slot, right? So,
well, now they have to. Rob Pelinka kind of messed up that trade. What?
I want Kuzma. I don't know who we have to trade to get him, draft picks, players, whatever, but that's who I want to try to get.
I think I already have.
I don't want to move up to four.
John, what do you love about Kuzma? What do you love about him?
Well, I think he could help this team. I don't know. I mean, he's in the league, and he's proven that he's capable at least, so but I'd rather trade for a player who's proven it than take a player who maybe can do it in the draft.
I think I already have Kyle Kuzma, John, and thank you for the call. I think his name's Jordan Clarkson.
I mean, Kuzma played with LeBron James last year, a guy who gets you nothing but wide-open threes. He shot 30% from three-point range. That is very alarming. And I know his name was bandied about a ton about trades. I think other teams, the rumor was that the Pelicans, they were the ones acting like they were coveting Kuzma to try to convince the Lakers to just do two more pick swaps. They would have rather had the pick swaps than Kyle Kuzma.
We get to William and Pepper Pike. William, you're next up on the fan.
Yeah. Hello, young fellas. This is William. I just wanted to say that I look at Darius Garland, and I mean, to draft him, is it a direct admission that the lead guard, Sexton, 16.7 points, and you know, didn't pass the ball that well, is a failure at point guard. Darius Garland, torn meniscus, played in four games, didn't have good stats, 16.2 points and three assists a game. And then they cover it up with the contradictions. They talk about positionless basketball. Yeah, 6'1 guy is going to guard Joel Embiid. And they just fall into a trap. If it's positionless, obviously he's not playing the position. Well, to draft Darius Garland, there's so many other players that they
yeah,
could
William,
draft.
I don't think Garland's going to get there. I don't even think he's going to be
there.
William,
sorry, I got
to
let you go. We're getting close.
I think teams are – some team is going
to really
trade with the Pelicans. They're going to go jump up and get him because they're seeing Damian Lillard. I've even heard some people compare him to Kyrie Irving.
According to what William's saying, that's probably a good thing for him. 216-578-0092, plenty to get to. Also, we'll take the calls. Remember, you got to start with the draft every single time you get in. I have a theory at 940 about Jay Billis and, quote-unquote, I hope he knows I don't like him. Was Baker talking about Big Ben? Was he talking about Lamar Jackson? Was he talking about Andy Dalton? Find out next on The Fan. Friends, can...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.